Hello. Do you like boats? I love boats. I've entitled this message this morning, When Jesus Gets in Your Boat. Now, your immediate thought might be, well, I don't have a boat. Well, obviously, I meant it very loosely. And for our purposes today, the boat will represent our lives. Now, I'm sure we all know that looking after a boat can be hard work. But our lives can be even more hard work. We have to maintain them. We have to make sure everything is generally okay. And I'm sure we get the equivalent of a few barnacles stuck to our lives along the way. Obviously, one of Jesus' disciples had a boat. Simon had a boat in partnership with Andrew, his brother. It wasn't a small boat either. It was a proper commercial fishing boat. It tells us in Luke 5, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, they've actually found a Galilean fishing boat from that period buried in the mud on Galilee near Gennesaret. The name Galilee and Gennesaret is interchangeable here. It was made of wood, 26 feet long and 7.5 feet wide. It would have had a small sail and suited for a crew of about five. Four crew members would have used the two pairs of oars while the other person steered the boat. And it was large enough to have half a ton perhaps catch of fish or about a dozen passengers. A cushion could be placed on the small deck at either end of the boat so that someone could sleep there. But the sides of the boat were low in order to make it easier for the fishermen to cast their nets over the side and then pull them back, hopefully full of fish. The downside would be that the waves would not have to be high to threaten this boat. Now that is most probably what Simon Peter's boat was like. He was a successful professional fisherman. He and his crew would set out every night in order to fish, and they knew what they were doing. They would fish for hours every night, and they did it at night so that the fish wouldn't be able to see their linen or flax net and then be able to swim round it. They would also fish together in partnership with at least one other boat with a net in between, all through the night. And that's why when Jesus comes along, it mentions two boats. His cousins John and James were in the other boat, and they would have anticipated, I'm sure, a big catch. In those days, whilst fishing on Galilee was certainly hard work, it was actually a very lucrative industry. There were around 230 working fishing boats on Galilee, because there was a demand for fresh fish and for all of its byproducts. So Simon might have been a bit rough around the edges, but he was also quite rich. Rich enough to own his own boat, plus he had his own house in the city of Capernaum. Now Simon and Andrew and their crew, along with the other boat mentioned, had been out fishing all night, but they had blanked. They had caught nothing. They're still busy though, cleaning, fixing their heavy nets, ready to hang them up to dry. And I should imagine that because of the lack of fish, they were probably fairly low. Now, it's into this scene that Jesus walks. He stands by the lake. The people are crowding around him. They're all eager to hear his words. And there are so many that Jesus, he wants to be heard, he wants to be seen. He gets into Peter's boat and asks him to push out a little way from the shore. And then he sits down and teaches from Simon's boat. Now, you might be thinking, well, surely that was a bit presumptuous of Jesus. He just seems to have commandeered this boat without asking permission. He seems to be treating it as if it was his boat and not Simon's. Well, I think we need to realise that there's background here. Simon had already met Jesus through his brother Andrew, and they had already started following Jesus. It tells us in John 1, verse 41, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. Now, this was a first step of commitment for Simon and Andrew, and they started following Jesus. Now, just to put a timeline on this, this was just after Jesus's baptism, but for whatever reason, they didn't stick with that commitment, and they went back to fishing. Now, later there was yet another calling as Jesus began more fully his public ministry. And it tells us in Matthew 4, verse 18 and 19. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. So this time, he's calling them to leave their nets, and they did. It would seem that they're becoming serious followers. They saw Jesus perform miracles. They heard his teaching. The only trouble is there's a but. Because just a few short weeks later, no more than that, it seems that even so, they were still not committed the way that Jesus wanted them to be. Because here we find them back fishing once again. And it seems that at best, despite the call, despite willingly committing to follow Jesus, they had only actually become part-time followers after all. And I just wonder, how many times has Jesus had to call me and you? I wonder how many times we have to hear. How many miracles do we have to see before we're fully committed? Before we follow through with our commitment to follow him, rather than go back to the familiarity of what we were doing before we made that commitment. Now, Jesus had called them to follow him, but just a few weeks on, and here they are back fishing. It's business as usual. Now, I want you to get that fact fixed in your mind this morning, because it's really significant if we are to properly understand just what is happening here. They had once more gone back to fishing. And along came Jesus with the crowds following him. Now, one thing I must point out is that we don't read anywhere in the text that Jesus rebuked them. He didn't tell them off. But we do see him going on board Simon's boat. We see him assuming command. He is the captain of this boat now. We don't know exactly why they've gone back fishing. But they had. Only this time, these seasoned fishermen had drawn a blank. They'd been fishing all night, as we've said, and caught nothing. And sometimes it can be like that in our lives. We set out in our boat, our life, with high expectation. The world is our oyster, so to speak. We're fishing all night. We maybe work all the hours. We put in the effort. But we can still draw a blank. We can draw a blank on the job front. We so much want to progress, but we just draw a blank. We draw a blank in our relationships. We draw a blank with our health and with our fitness, with our sporting achievements. And of course, we can draw a blank spiritually. Things just don't seem to go our way. You know, we're not catching the breaks like other boats are, like other people are. Maybe as Christians, we want to influence our city, influence our church. We want to influence our friends and family. We want them to come to know Jesus. We want to do something for God. We want to evangelize. We want to be fishers of men. But we keep drawing a blank. And sometimes it's almost as if we're barren. And we've got to ask ourselves, why does that happen? I mean, why did Simon and Andrew, these seasoned fishermen who knew Galilee like the back of their hand, why did they blank? To be honest, I don't know exactly why they didn't catch anything. But I can think of a few possibilities. And I can't get away from the thought that it primarily had something to do with the fact that they'd gone back from their commitment of following Jesus. And that Jesus' answer to it was for him to come on board as captain. One reason they caught nothing, of course, has to be that they couldn't see where the fish were. So maybe they were fishing in the wrong places. That would do it, wouldn't it? If there was no fish where you're fishing, guess what? You're not going to catch any. In modern day fishing, they can use sonar to detect and see where the shoals of fish are. But for Simon and Andrew, their sonar was just years and years of experience. But for some reason, this seemed to have deserted them at this point. Or maybe the moon was just too bright that night and the fish saw the nets and were scared away. Or maybe there was just too much competition with all the other boats and chances were taken and Simon and Andrew, they messed up. Or maybe they weren't fishing as a team with the other boat. You see, they needed to work properly together as boats and as a team if they wanted to be successful. I'm sure we all know what it's like when someone wants to do things their own way and they stop being a team player, either at work, in sport, in church, in our family, or in our relationships. We get nowhere. And that's something we have to learn, especially in church life, how to pull together. There's another possible reason for not catching fish, but I'm not really suggesting this was the case then. But in today's world, sometimes water can be polluted. And that pollution can not only kill the fish, but it can destroy the habitat so that, again, there's no chance of any fish being there. And that pollution is maybe a picture of the effects of our sin. The point today being that sometimes we can't see where the catch is, because we have let sinful attitudes and practices blind us to a visionary view. I always think of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, where it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You see, it's sometimes the little things that we think don't matter that actually become our Achilles heel. We might be working all night, but we can't see where the fish are. The little things like unforgiveness, pride, gossip, they get in under our radar, and they undermine everything. They block our spiritual vision. Or even maybe, just maybe, they were never intended to catch anything that night because Jesus already had something else better planned for them. I wonder how many times that's true in our lives, but we lose patience. One thing is for certain, they didn't catch anything. They drew a blank. They had gone fishing and failed. That's pretty devastating. Jesus calls Simon and he asks him to put the boat out a little way, and Simon does so without question. And Jesus sits down in his boat and he starts teaching. It says in verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. How many know when Jesus gets into your boat, things start to change? Because he will want to push out, maybe just a little bit at first, but eventually he will be saying, look, launch out into the deep. Go a little bit deeper. Go out of your comfort zone. See, Jesus had finished teaching, and now he's going into the fishing business with Simon and Andrew. He's called them to follow him, and they had, but they've gone back, and now he's come. He's taken charge, and he's taking them fishing. Quite predictably, Simon gives a fisherman's response. He's saying, really? Don't you know we're fishermen? Let down our nets here now? Really? We've been out all night. This is definitely not the time for fishing. You see, there's an element here of Simon saying, I don't want to. I think it's a waste of time, but I'll humour you. But that's not all that was happening. And the beautiful thing here is what else Simon said. He said, Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. First of all, Jesus is called Master. Notice not teacher, it's Master. And apparently Master is in the sense of being the captain of the boat. Simon raised his protest, but then it's because it's you, Master. Because it's you, Captain. Because it's you, Lord. Because you say so. At your word, we will do it. And over the sides went the net. And it wasn't long before, verse 6 says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They had a huge catch of fish. So huge that they had to signal their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now, I reckon that's well over a ton of fish between them. And I can just imagine the excitement of these boats. And in the midst of all that excitement, the eyes of Simon and the eyes of Jesus lock. And it finally dawns on Simon just who's in his boat. It says in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And it reminds me of Isaiah when he'd seen the glory of God. "Woe is me, for I am undone." Verse 9 of Luke 5, it says, "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners." You see, friends, when we see Jesus for who he is, we see ourselves for who we are. And they were stunned. Their world stood still. You see, friends, when this kind of thing happens, nothing else matters. See, Simon knew about fishing, but this was not fishing. This was God. Simon knew that humanly speaking, what had just happened was literally impossible. And in response, Simon was saying, "Lord, you should give up on me. You called me and all I've done is keep going back to fishing. It's better to go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." I wonder if any of us have ever felt like that. "Hi, Lord, I just keep failing. Lord, I just keep messing up." But look what Jesus says. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Can you just feel the compassion here in his words to Simon? Jesus is totally conscious of Simon's weakness and failings, but nevertheless, he says, "Don't be afraid." And as if to underscore it all, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, and from now on, you will catch men." From now on, henceforth. He's recognizing the past, but he's changing everything. He's breaking with the past. He's saying, from now on, in other words, "I'm not finished with you, Simon." And friends, he's not finished with you. From now on, with me in your boat, as your captain, as your Lord, as your master, from now on, you will catch men. And the implication of this whole scene is that they would catch men on the scale of this huge catch of fish. And friends, this is what happens when God gets in your boat. He breaks through all your excuses, all your pretenses. This is when Jesus is real, when he's in your boat, when he's in your life. What a transformation from the barrenness of catching nothing to becoming fishers of men. That's the same difference Jesus wants to make in your life too. You see, friends, Jesus has no problem seeing the fish, because he has a visionary view. He knows exactly where the fish are and he knows how to catch them. We can't do it without him, but he can tell us. You see, he not only knows where the fish are, he knows where you are too. He knows all about you and he loves you. Thank you.